A judge ruled on Monday that the 13-year-old suspect in the so-called Slenderman case will be tried in an adult court. The two girls are accused of stabbing a classmate last year to impress a fictional character called Slenderman.
According to Wisconsin law, the charge of attempted murder required the two to be tried in the adult system. Juvenile defendants are allowed to ask for a transfer to the juvenile system, but the ruling on Monday denied that request from defense attorneys.
Monday's ruling raises the wider question, when is it appropriate to try juvenile offenders in the adult legal system? Two guests join us now. Tina Freiberger is chair and associate professor in the Department of Criminal Justice at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Tina, thanks for joining us today.
Hello, hi.
And also with us is Kim Dvorak. She's executive director of the National Juvenile Defender Center. Kim, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Tina, we'll start with you. When a judge in Wisconsin is weighing a case like this, whether to move juveniles from the adult courts into the juvenile system, what kind of factors are they weighing in that decision?
Well, usually judges will consider factors that are related to the offense. Those lots of times have, you know, the most profound impact, such as the severity of the offense, obviously, what kind of prior records that the juvenile has. They also may consider the age of the juvenile and the needs of the juvenile, and that would include their treatment needs, and also, too, their mental health needs as well.
And, Tina, how do Wisconsin's laws for juveniles in adult courts compare with other states?
Well, Wisconsin is actually pretty strict. They're stricter than most states with juveniles. One is the statutory exclusionary rule that puts 10-year-olds convicted of murder or attempted murder into the adult system automatically. And also, too, the other thing that really sets us apart is this idea that a 17-year-old is actually considered to be an adult immediately.
Let's turn to Kim Dvorak now. Kim, your organization has made the case that we should be reluctant at most to try minors as adults. Why is that?
Because all of the developmental research confirms that children are different from adults, that their brains are still developing, that their sense of identity is still developing, and that they're still capable of change and rehabilitation. And this research has been relied upon by the United States Supreme Court in now 4 major decisions regarding juveniles. The children are simply different from adults, and we fail when we treat them as if they are adults.
So they might be capable of change and rehabilitation more so than an adult suspect.
Correct. That is correct.
Now, in the ruling on Monday, Kim, the judge said, quote, there has to be assurance to the public and to these defendants as well that a serious offense has to be dealt with on a serious basis that offers protection to everyone. So is there a case to be made here for public safety being a factor in this decision, regardless of the age of the accused?
Not regardless with respect to the age of the accused. When it comes to children, the seriousness of the offense really should not be the governing factor, that we really need to look at their individual characteristics because they really are developing year by year, even throughout the course of one of these cases. And so without any strong evidence that these children are incapable of rehabilitation or incapable of being treated, it really serves all of our interests that they get the treatment they need in a juvenile justice system, and not in an adult system.
We are talking about juvenile suspects in the adult criminal justice system, asking when should minors be tried as adults, if ever. Tina Freiberger from UW-Milwaukee is with us. Kim Dvorak from the National Juvenile Defender Center. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. Let's turn to outcomes for minors in the adult system. Tina, what do we know about recidivism rates for minors who go through the juvenile system versus the adult court system?
Well, there have been a pretty good handful of studies that have been done on this. And, you know, what they find is that juveniles who go through the adult system are actually more likely to recidivate than juveniles who go through the juvenile system. And when they look at juveniles who recidivate in both systems, they find that those who go through the adult system actually tend to commit more serious crimes once out of the system than those who went through the juvenile system.
So, Kim, that makes me wonder what kind of things, what kind of programs young offenders need that they might get in the juvenile system that they won't get in the adult system?
Well, certainly therapy, number one. my understanding is that there are some mental health implications for both of these young girls, and they need considerable mental health care. To my knowledge, that simply is not available in the adult system unless you have a very serious psychiatric disorder. You might end up in a psychiatric prison. But the juvenile system was designed for developing children. So hopefully, we hope that the people who work in the juvenile system are trained in providing cognitive behavioral therapy, are trained in providing whatever mental health resources these young girls might need, and they're also trained in understanding just what a normal adolescent would be going through during this period. They're simply prone to more risk-taking behavior. They can make bad decisions, particularly when they're under stress or when they're with a peer. You know, even the Supreme Court has recognized that peer influence and negative peer influences have a substantial effect on the behavior that children engage in. And with girls this young, it's unfathomable to me that the adult system could provide any of their needs.
We'll go to a caller now. We've got Bruce on the line in Partyville. Bruce, hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I think so far the discussion has focused on the aspects of rehabilitation theories of punishment, but there is another part of the punishment theory, and that is retribution or the societal need for punishment itself. And those two things do need to be balanced. You can't focus exclusively on the aspect of rehabilitation, or ultimately society becomes dissatisfied with the system itself.
Bruce, thanks a lot. A sense, Kim, that justice isn't done if we only focus on rehabilitation for what might be a heinous crime at the outset.
And certainly retribution has been a traditional justification for punishment. You know, what the Supreme Court has found is that the case for retribution is simply not as strong with children, that because their culpability is diminished not only by their age but also by potential individual characteristics or mental health needs, that justification simply isn't as strong when we're talking about children.
And staying with punishment for a moment, Tina, as I understand Wisconsin law, under 17, until you're 17, you can't be put in an adult prison facility. So what, assuming a minor is found guilty, what options are there? Where do they go if they're convicted?
Well, lots of times they will start off in the juvenile system, but then at some point they are transferred into the adult system. And the whole idea is that they won't be transferred until they reach 18, but that doesn't really always happen. I mean, there's not a lot of good estimates, good statistics that are put out recently on this, but like in 2009, the U.S. Bureau of Prisons reported that there was actually 37 kids in the state of Wisconsin that were 16 or under who were in adult state prison.
As I understand it, again, that's not supposed to happen. How does that happen then?
Right. Well, it does happen, and it can happen sometimes with transferred youth, because the federal regulation for it is the out of sight, out of sound is the requirement, so that juveniles are kept out of sight and out of sound of adult offenders. So that can actually mean solitary confinement for juveniles, which can also lead to a whole host of additional mental health problems.
We're talking about juvenile justice and adult courts with Tina Freiberger from UW-Milwaukee and Kim Dvorak from the National Juvenile Defender Center. After a judge's ruling this week that the now 13-year-old suspects in the Slender Man attempted murder case will stay in adult court.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. When should minors be tried in adult court? Have you ever been involved in a court case where this decision had to be made? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our discussion about juvenile suspects being tried in the adult court system. Tina Freiberger from UW-Milwaukee is with us, and Kim Dvorak with the National Juvenile Defender Center.
And you can join the discussion at 800-642-1234. When, if ever, do you think younger offenders should be tried in adult courts? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll go back to our callers with Liz in Silver Lake. Liz, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I wanted to address the point where I am in Wisconsin, that juvenile offenders are not serving time in adult facilities. And my son, when he was 16, he's now 21, but when he was 16, he was remanded to adult court and served time for I think it was considered a burglary. I mean, attempted burglary. And while there, he was attacked and by two men in the bathroom. And so it was, it's not true. They do serve time in adult court. I mean, in adult facilities.
Liz.
Yeah, juveniles in the adult system are actually, when they are in adult facilities, they're a lot more likely to be victimized. When a national survey done by the U.S. Bureau of Prisons found that 13% of inmates that were sexually victimized were kids, were under 18, and that doesn't sound like a large number, but it really is when we look at the fact that there's less than 1% of the jail population is actually minors.
And Kim, what does this look like nationally? Is this common that we end up with minors in prison and facing these situations as Liz's son did?
Well, unfortunately, it has been fairly common. There has been over 200,000, 250,000 children in adult courts across the country, and I can't tell you exactly what percentage of those end up in an adult prison facility. We are working across the country with multiple advocacy organizations to reduce the prosecution of children and to reduce the incarceration of children in the adult criminal justice system. I think particularly when it comes to persons who were 12 years of age at the time of the offense, it would be very rare that we would find those cases. And that is a law change that really should be considered to raise the age that we would allow two 12-year-olds to be prosecuted as adults really is just very much inconsistent with the national landscape.
Liz, thanks for the call. Good luck to you and your family. Ryan is with us next in Milwaukee. Ryan, hi.
Hey, what's happening?
What did you want to bring up, Ryan?
Hey, I've worked in a lot of other states dealing with youth, especially youth offenders, and out east, Ohio, Maryland, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin locks up youth for a lot of minor drug offenses. I work a lot in Racine County, Milwaukee County, and for small amounts of marijuana, kids are being sentenced to prison time, and it just blows my mind. And while I go and visit them in juvenile detention facilities, they sit a very long time, even before they get to even go to court, which boggles me, blows my mind that it's not even brought up anywhere, that kids sit 3, 4, 5, 6 months before they even see a judge to be sentenced, you know, and then when they get sentenced, they're charged as an adult, and these kids take these charges so often because these lawyers are like, you might as well just get charged as an adult, because sometimes they're able to get out even earlier, you know, as being charged as an adult, but, you know, little do they know that that record's going to be with them for the rest of their life, you know, it's just a lot of foolishness being in this state, and that compared to a lot of other states, and it's just not brought to the table. I don't think a lot of people know what's really going on.
And Ryan, you're working as a social worker, as I understand it. You
yes.
what effect do you think this has on the people you're working with then?
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, for the families, for the youth, you know, just long-term effect. And kids, like you were saying, the statistics, when kids get locked up, and I say kids, they're not adults, you know, especially for minor drug offenses or very, just some of these lesser charges, they're going to get locked back up. Like they said, they're going to prison, so they have to act like adults. They have to act like a grown man in prison. Prison is so different than a juvenile detention facility. They deal with so many other different issues and just having to grow up way too quick and being around that whole element of hardcore criminals, you know, and more gangs from other parts of the state or other states you know, and just growing up way too quick.
Ryan, thanks a lot for the call. Tina, you mentioned recidivism rates earlier. Is that part of the story here, that a kid, a youth in adult prison is meeting and having to live with all of these more hardened criminals and learning from them?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's a really popular, well-supported theory in criminology, the social learning theory, that finds that, you know, kids as well as adults learn crime and criminal behaviors and different criminal behaviors from their peers, from other individuals. So, yes, when they're surrounded by other more advanced adult criminals, of course they're going to learn additional criminal behaviors. Plus, you know, the caller also brought up a really good point about the fact that once a kid is in the adult system, that then that's on their record, and then that follows them, which makes it more difficult once they're out, you know, to gain employment, find a place to live in some cases, and all of those things relate to recidivism.
Kim, are there states you would point to as examples for dealing with juvenile crime issues?
You know, there are lots of states that are reforming their laws around the prosecution of children as adults. If you look at the Campaign for Youth Justice website, they are a national advocacy organization, and they point to four trends around the reduction in prosecuting kids as adults. And one of them is to really change the age range in which these children can be prosecuted as adults. I'm from the state of Colorado, and we recently raised the age for prosecutorial charging in adult court to 16 years of age, requiring that children begin in the juvenile justice system. We've also implemented more procedural protections around prosecuting children as adults. You know, in the 90s, there was a very significant movement to get tough on crime, and that included getting tough on kids. And we really adultified our juvenile justice systems. And what we're seeing now is that we are informed by adolescent development research. We are informed by the research that shows locking kids up leads to worse outcomes. And so states are taking a second look and rolling back laws to make their systems more developmentally appropriate that ultimately make our communities more safe.
Thanks to both our guests in this conversation, Tina Freiberger from UW-Milwaukee, Kim Dvorak from the National Juvenile Defender Center, talking about juvenile justice in adult courts.